Next item on the agenda is the YMCA of Southampton Roads. Mr. Badger, good morning.
Good morning. YMCA is requesting authorization to install two offshore stone breakwaters totaling approximately 676 linear feet and extend an existing breakwater approximately 30 feet, install a 100-foot long by 24-foot or 24-inch diameter stormwater outfall pipe, and nourish the land or the beach landward of the breakwaters with beach-quality sand. The project is situated along the Chesapeake Bay, adjacent to the YMCA camp in the Silver Beach area of Northampton County. The project is protested by an adjacent property owner, or owners. Arrows marking the spot on the eastern shore where the project is. It's north of Nassauwax Creek, and it's about 7.5 miles from the town of town of Exmoor, and just north of the beachfront community of Silver Beach. Project is also south of and adjacent to four permitted breakwaters, which are right here. Camp Silver Beach is located on approximately 151 acres of property and provides activities for 8 to 16-year-old campers. The camp has approximately 1,100 linear feet of shorefront along the Chesapeake Bay, which is here in yellow, between here, here in red, right there. There is an erosion rate since 2002 of approximately 3.6 feet, and since the breakwaters to the north were installed in 2010 or 2011, the YMCA property has averaged over 5 feet of erosion per year. However, the adjacent property, which is the Downings Beach, which is also where the protestants are, has not seen very much erosion during that time since 2002. They've held their own. The applicant proposes to stabilize the shoreline by protect the property by utilizing living shoreline techniques that include the construction of two new breakwaters and extension of a third existing structure, combined with minor bank grading and beach nourishment. As you can see here, there is a direct impact of 4,175 feet of SAV that will be lost to the northern breakwater and the extension of the southern existing breakwater. Four adjacent property owners who own approximately 950 feet, which is just south of the YMCA property here, and downdrift, has protested the project. They have, their property includes, I believe it's seven lots, which are situated adjacent to the camp. Their property is here and continues down this way to approximately here. The southern lot is not built on, and then there's probably about two more lots before you get into the northern end of the community of Silver Beach. Dr. Kermit Ashby is a spokesperson for the protestants, and they have concerns that the breakwaters will cause erosion to their dunes and beach, which are not experiencing a great deal of erosion at this time. They also have concerns that a portion of the southern breakwater and beach nourishment will be either on their property or in their riparian area. Again, the arrows are marking the north end of the existing breakwater and the southern end of their property, and here's their existing pier. VIMS believes that the proposed structures are likely to function well to address erosion on the beach and protect the non-tidal freshwater pond. They also recommend mitigation for any direct impacts to the SAV. In addition, any breakwater system is likely to impact shoreline immediately downdrift to an unknown degree. The proposed project appears to have been designed to minimize these impacts. If significant impacts to the downdrift shoreline are observed, additional sand nourishment could be added near the southern structure. This is an outline of the 151-acre property. The road itself, Downings Beach Road, comes in here. And then you can see the northern breakwaters. Northampton County Wetlands Board approved their portion of the project back in December. Department of Game and Inland Fisheries anticipates no significant adverse impacts. Department of Conservation and Recreation recommends an inventory of the northeastern beach tiger beetle be conducted in the project area. However, it is staff's understanding that the applicant has agreed to the Army Corps of Engineers special conditions for the protection of the tiger beetle in their pending regional permit 17. The tiger beetle, one of the reasons that it's in front of you today and not next month or the month after is they're trying to get the construction done before the season starts, which is June through September. And again, no state agency expressed opposition to the project. This was the original design, and you can see the property line of the protestants was here. The original design showed nourishment on either on their property or in front of their property in the riparian area, and actually even an extension of the southern breakwater was in front of them, potentially in front of their property in the riparian area. And this is the original design again. Now this is showing where the SAV, submerged aquatic vegetation, will be lost. Here again, it's 1,174 square feet. Because of the concerns of the adjacent property owners, they redesigned the project so that the breakwater ends before the extension of the property line and the nourishment does too. I think we all believe that some of this nourishment will eventually move down in front of the protestant's property. Again, closer view. On the other end, showing the SAV, same impacts on the redesign. Cross sections showing the fill behind the breakwaters. And this is the location of the pond and the pipe that goes underneath of the nourishment and the breakwater, and has an outfall of minus 1 foot, and the inverse from the pond is a plus 1.42. Some ground shots looking south from the existing southern permitted breakwater. That's the pier, YMCA pier. As you can see, there's erosion. Still looking south. This is a fairly low tide. I believe lower normal mean low is probably a little higher up. Now we're looking north from the protestant's property, looking north. Again, you can see the bank here. And one last look at the pond itself, the freshwater pond. And I'll leave this up and go through summary and recommendation. Section 28.2, 104.1 of the Code of Virginia encourages the use of living shorelines as a preferred alternative for stabilizing tidal shorelines in the Commonwealth. The applicant's breakwater system is consistent with the legislation that was passed in 2011. Based on the concerns of the protestants, the applicant redesigned their living shoreline and breakwater system. The southern breakwater and nourishment now appears to be north of the protestants' property and now in front of the camp's property. While we are sensitive to the protestants' concerns, it appears that the project has been designed to minimize potential and adverse impacts or adverse effects along the adjoining southern beach while providing protection for the applicant's eroded shoreline. As suggested by our shoreline development best management practices, the breakwater project appears to have been designed to address the specific site conditions such as the wave climate and materials, and has been designed with the appropriate spacing and distances offshore. However, as stated in our standard permit language, condition number 2 indicates that a permit grants no authority to the permittee to encroach upon the property rights, including riparian rights of others. Since the southern breakwater and sand nourishment now appears to be in front of the applicant's property, staff can now support the project. Therefore, after evaluating the merits of the entire project and after considering all the factors contained in 28.2-1205A of the Code of Virginia and the concerns of the protestants, staff recommends approval of the applicant's redesigned breakwater system. In addition, we recommend compensatory mitigation for 4,175 square feet, direct impacts of SAV, that a plan for SAV compensation shall be submitted to the commission staff for review and acceptance. I added the them's agreement to plant 4,175 square feet of SAV to your packet, so I think that portion of it has been accepted by staff. We further recommend that based on the redesign, a one-time royalty in the amount of $1,987.40 be assessed for the Sevacuous Beach Nourishment Fill over 39,748 square feet be included at a rate of 5 cents per square foot. Staff also recommends a one-time royalty assessment of $111 for the outfall pipe encroachment over 37 feet of state-owned submerged bottom at a rate of $3 a square foot. That's it. I know the applicant, their agent, and the protestant are all here to answer any questions if I cannot.
Questions of Mr. Badger? Mr. Ballard first and Ms. Lusk.
I'm not sure I've seen a mitigation for SAV agreement like this before. Have we had one?
We have. And it's sometimes it's not as large or involved as this one is, but yeah, we have.
And I'll follow up.
Follow up, Mr. Ballard.
What was the density of SAV in front of this area? What classification?
In that area, I believe it was 70%.
Ms. Lawson?
My questions were about the SAV mitigation also. Is there a specific location for where this?
I believe it's going to be on the seaside. Unfortunately, there's not a, I don't believe there's any good places on the bayside right now that BIMS was comfortable with planting and having success rate. Not along the eastern shore, anyway.
Further questions? Mr. Tankard.
I have two questions. You mentioned in the earlier part of your presentation that you believe the erosion had increased in front of Silver Beach because of the breakwaters to the north.
In front of the YMCA property, yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. If you look, you can see that. Sorry. It narrows. After you get beyond the last tombola, the last breakwater, look how narrow that beach is.
Right.
And then it starts to widen back out farther south you go.
Mr. Tiger, follow up, please.
My question. So the tombola is effectively capturing that sand in front. The drift is north to south, I guess.
The drift is north to south, and BIMS is obviously would be better to address this, but just. If you want to hear my opinion,
sure.
The breakwaters have stopped the beach from moving south. The breakwaters have also stopped the erosion of the bank, which would bring sand south too. So between the two, you're starving the beaches to the south.
Okay. And so I have a follow-up question.
Yes, sir. Please.
When we begin to trap the sand with the new tombolas, will we be covering eelgrass to the inside of those tombolas as well, and is that part of your calculation, 4,750?
That's part of the calculations, yeah. There is some sand, part of that, but not a lot. If you looked at the BIMS charts, their SAV maps, it's more offshore where the riprap is.
Mr. Zadrin?
So you're telling us that when they installed the north breakwaters, it eroded the beach to the south, right?
That's correct.
So what compensation, if any, have y'all discussed for the landowner to the south of the YMCA? If you already know it's going to erode his beach, I mean, are you going to give him any compensation or anything?
That's why y'all get paid the big bucks. We have, it's no guarantee that it's going to erode it. It probably will. BIMS would be someone maybe to ask about that.
I got another question.
Yes, sir, Mr. Zager.
I mean, the whole idea behind these is to preserve the beach. So if we approve the project, we're just going to tear the beach up to the south, right?
It's a good chance. That will be an impact. Now, how big an impact, I don't know. Design for these breakwaters are designed to have a less of an impact than some other breakwaters would be, with the nourishment behind it and so forth. But, yes, there will be an impact.
Thank you. Further question? Ms. Lawson.
I'm sorry. I have another question about the SAV mitigation plan. Is there a reason why you didn't consider, like, buying mitigation credits from an already established SAV or a wetlands or some sort? Is there a bank or something like that? It just seems like this is SAV in the bay side that should be maybe mitigated in the bay aside from this.
I don't disagree. Bill's might be able to answer that better. But this seems to be where they're going. It's more on the seaside at this point.
We'll hear from them.
Okay, thank you.
Can you tell me what makes us to live in shoreline?
The breakwaters and the nourishment behind it.
Further questions? Thank you, sir. I'm sorry, Mr. Ballard.
Question for Mr. Badger. Going up and down the shoreline, do you see a lot of these breakwaters? Is this pretty common?
It's more common. There is the four that are right above here. There are two more in front of the Tankards property, not Ed's property, but his cousins. There are two other sets down in Northampton County, separated, and Mr. Tankard's right in the middle of the two sets of breakwaters. Cape Charles has theirs, quite a few, and then Bay Creek has a whole slew of seven down there. Yes.
Mr. Tankard.
If you looked at all those seven breakwater situations, is it consistent that the property to the south suffers sand, decrease of sand in front of their properties?
Downdrift.
Yes,
in most cases, unless there's some type of armament adjacent to it. If it's just pure beach, yeah, there's going to be. But that would also hold true if you did a rebetment or any type of structure along that front. It's going to impact your neighbor. Along the Atlantic Ocean or the Chesapeake Bay, it's going to be larger than up in a creek.
Further questions? Thank you, Hank. I think in order to keep the flow going to answer the questions we've got, I'd like to hear from Vims at this point. Can you come forward?
Mr. Commissioner, would you like to hear directly about the project, which is in the high handed, or would you like to have some questions about the SAV compensation, John?
Well, let's do the SAV compensation first, because that's a question Ms. Lusk has. You have been previously sworn. State your name, please.
Law Varnell, Virginia Institute of Marine Science.
Ms. Lusk, you had a question?
Yes. I guess my question is, what is the reasoning behind mitigating for the SAV that's being removed from the bay on the seaside?
Well, that's a good question that we've been struggling with for quite a few years, actually. We have, through our SAV program since in the 1970s, been experimenting with planting and seeding zostera and rupia in Virginia's Chesapeake Bay and also in Maryland's a little bit up where the salinity hits it. We've had extremely little success. We have had some persistence in the mouth of the James River, but other places, where there is not SAV is where you target for these situations, because SAV comes and goes, as we all know, and we don't want to plant where there's also already SAV for this. In those areas where there has not historically been SAV, where we try to get it established, there's either too much wave energy, there's too much sedimentation. We've had very little success, and we've looked at this and tried. We've worked with staff on what might be done. We do not like to be in this business for compensatory mitigation. There's no one else that can do it. We've been in some discussions with other parties about maybe doing this. it's a very expensive and arduous process because you have to harvest the seeds, hold them for months, stir them daily, make sure that they're viable until you can plant them and they take. It's not an easy situation. We are continuing to look in Chesapeake Bay, and we're continuing to try to get out of the business of doing this, but no one else can do it right now. And we feel it's incumbent upon us, if no one else can, to do this for the resources and for the state. So the applicant can maybe answer some more questions about specifics of the contract, but we get to work directly with our SAV program, Dr. Orth, in this case, and to find out what might be done. But I will say in this one instance, in justification for what we do, we're not comfortable taking money from an applicant, whomever that might be, and just doing something and knowing that it's not going to be successful. We have a very high confidence that since the success has been on the seaside, that we can not waste that investment from an applicant. So that's one of the reasons that this is really at this moment the only opportunity that we have that we can confidently say that we're going to get extra SAV resource with the investment that's required. So I'm not sure that answered your question, but that's...
Do you have a follow-up?
I don't think so.
Mr. Zadrin?
Does VIM support this project?
Well, we don't go on record as supporting any project through our history. That's not what we do. But I will say this is in these types of shoreline situations and wave climates, we do look for offshore breakwaters as the preferred option in our perspective. That's where we start to look at, you know, if we're when we review a project, this is probably what we would have had we been asked, what would you do in this situation, which we have been before. We would say, well, you need to consider an offshore stone breakwater with beach nourishment in this shoreline situation and wave climate.
All right. Let me
follow up.
Yeah. So if SAV is so hard to grow on the bayside, and this is a 70% concentration, what justifies basically killing 4,000 square feet of SAV for this project?
Well, loaded question. When we review these types of situations, we look at we have people and we can all look at some designs and say are they appropriate, are they well designed? Can there be any change in the design that would reduce where they have to be placed? I think the applicant can answer this better for this specific situation because it is on a case-by-case, location-by-location situation. But when we looked at this, it was very properly designed and located to be functional. Any movement of it or anything that would reduce a design or reduce the where it is located on some aqueous bottom, we consider that would probably reduce the function of it for the area that it was targeted for.
Further questions? Mr. Ballard?
On the shoreline, I can't tell from the picture of approximately how much beach there is, but is it conceivable that eventually continued erosion would cause impacts to that SAV bed anyway, if you have the shoreline constantly eroding into that area?
Well, that's been the history there, and the SAV has been persistent in this area at the high concentration that you saw. So if history is a judge, you know, through evolutionary process, they've learned to adapt to that and deal with that.
So, Mr. France.
Yeah. My question would be, if erosion continues, it looks like there may be a good chance that this pond would be, washed out. And what kind of effect would that have on all this SAV?
Well, that would, in the relative scheme of things from a time perspective, it would be very temporary there. The shoreline would definitely change. It would probably cause erosion north and south or lead to greater erosion north and south, and inside the pond would maybe turn to a marsh. You never know. But either way, when we get these, it's either semi-mature or fully matured project that we're asked to review. So we understood when we got the project that the pond, keeping the pond intact was one of the concerns of the property owner. So that's how we responded to that.
Paula? Yes, sir.
So if nothing's done, there is an extremely good chance that this pond will be washed out.
That is a great possibility, yes. That's correct.
Further questions? I have one. In reading the SAV mitigation plan under item 4,
yes,
it does not specifically identify a location. As you're well aware, on the seaside, there is a significant amount of aquaculture that goes on over there. I don't want to get into the business of us providing a vehicle. Of course, SAV is good, and I do share the concern of the destruction of almost 4,200 square feet of SAV. But on the other hand, from a mitigation perspective, I would trust that this, if this plan is approved, that the location of established aquaculture will be taken into consideration prior to the implementation of the plan.
Understood, and definitely. We are very sensitive to those issues all over the bay and the seaside. And if it's necessary, we can change the wording of the contract if you'd like.
I think number four just does not identify the location. I would hate for someone, I make sure I say this correctly, and I don't mean it wrong, unsupervised or just make an arbitrary decision to go and say, I think I want to put it there, and it becomes a conflict. I don't want to be dealing with that.
Well, I wish Dr. Worth was here to answer this, or maybe the applicant can. However, my understanding is there, for this size of a project, there are a few locations that are candidates for this that do not have any effect on any ongoing aquaculture or lease bottom
cool.
at this time.
That makes me happy. Any other questions of Mr. Barnell? Any further questions of them's pertaining to the project? Okay. Thank y'all. At this time, the applicant, president, or representative? Yes, sir. Could you come forward, please? Sir, would you raise your right hand? You solemnly swear the testimony that you give today will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God.
I do.
Thank you. Could you state your name for the record, please?
My name is Bill Zazinski. I'm the Chief Property and Facility Officer for the YMCA of Southampton Roads.
Good to have you here, Mr. Zazinski. Please proceed.
Sure. As you know, the YMCA of Southampton Roads is a 501c3 nonprofit. Our breadth of who we serve starts in northern Eastern Shore and Onley. Goes all the way down to Nags Head, North Carolina, and as far west as South Boston. We have served kids, over 40,000 kids, the past 20 years at Camp Silver Beach. Camp Silver Beach is a residential or overnight camp. We have kids come from all over the United States to attend our camps. Our staff is half people from Virginia and half international, so it gives quite an experience for kids. Our programs that we have are things such as the traditional things of climbing and zip lining and things like that. However, we do have a concentrated environmental program that we do. We also use the beachfront for canoeing, for sailing. We also have things where we teach kids to get captain's licenses, things like that. So a lot of different things that we need the resource of the shoreline for. It's very important for us to do that. In this project, we've been talking about this project for over a year now. It is a project that is going to cost the YMCA Southampton Roads over $1 million to put sand and stone on the beach. And it's something that, again, you know, as a person has to approve projects, $1 million to that is kind of questionable. However, it's important for the impact that we have to our kids and our families that we serve. As you know, we do have opposition to this. We have tried to be responsible and environmentally friendly to this project, and we've tried to look at a conservative way to do this. They have a friendly approach to the project, and again, within the budget that we have. As a good faith effort, we've had meetings with our property owners to the south. We understand that there's an impact that's going to happen here. We gave the landowners an opportunity to tag along to this project with a proposal so that they could maybe simultaneously do this project with us to save them some money for this. Again, it's been a friendly discussion, trying to be as neighborly as possible here. But again, we do, as Mr. Badger recommended or has talked about, we do have a window of opportunity to get this project done. We supported our northern landowners when they did that project. We obviously understood that there's going to be an impact to us as well, and as you can see, it has happened over, you know, since the breakwater was installed over 10 years ago. And finally, you know, we have been corporate partners to Northampton County for over 20 years. You know, every week when kids drop off or when parents drop off their kids, they spend money in Northampton County. They stay there. They come back. And again, the impact that we have for over 40,000 kids over the past 20 years is just important to what we do for our YMCA mission and continue this for the next 20 years. Thank you.
Thank you. Questions of Mr. Zazinski by members of the commission? Mr. Ballard?
Can you describe a little bit the width of your current shoreline and what your ultimate kind of concerns are with preventing more shoreline erosion?
Sure. So I think Mr. Badger said we've been losing beach line or beachfront by about a rate of five feet per year. Every time a storm kicks up in the fall, we lose more. There were some pictures that Mr. Badger showed of our pier, and we have a walkover from some of our family camp residences, and we've reduced that by about 30 feet over the years. And so again, if we advertise Camp Silver Beach, just if we keep on losing the beach, it's going to be Camp Silver Land or something like that. So it's really important that we do something to replenish this beachfront.
Further questions, Mr. Zedrin?
I've got a place in Nags Head, and the beach, it's eroded there tremendously. And what we've done down there is replenished the beach. Mm-hmm. And we just got through with about 3 mile section in the Nags Head area, and they added about 150 feet to the beach. Was that considered as an option here rather than put those breakwaters?
I'd have to talk to my engineer talk and respond to that. But again, we were just looking for the best long-term option at the best price we could as well.
I think what we ought to do is get the agent going to speak. Can you come forward, sir, just in case we'll have them both at the same time? Raise your right hand. Mr. Zinsky, you stay up here if you would, please. You solemnly swear the testimony you give be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, self to God.
I do.
You state your name for the record, please.
Neville Reynolds.
Okay, Mr. Reynolds, you heard Mr. Zedrin's question. Could you please respond to that?
Yes, and I've got a couple of slides here that might put some context and answer some of the questions that have been asked.
Okay, we didn't. But I didn't know we were going to have two folks, but go ahead. That's part of the presentation. Go ahead.
It'll be quick.
Yes, sir. I'm not worried about the time. I'm just worried about the flow and making sure I get the things in the proper order. But if you would, please, before we go any further, answer Mr. Zedrin's question, if you would, please, pertaining to it. And if you need to use a slide, do that, but please proceed with the response.
So as opposed to straight beach nourishment, some of the images that I'll show will show that the feed of sand along the shoreline has been cut off far upstream of this particular property to just put beach sand, you know, just to nourish this beach would be a temporary solution. The sand would continue to feed on down the beach, and we would be right back in the situation the property's in here in a very short period of time. So the breakwaters, and to Mr. Tankard's point, the breakwaters are really positioned to allow the placed beach fill to stay where they are, to create equilibrium embayments that dissipate wave energy and protect the dunes. Without those, It would be difficult to maintain the backshore elevation, and it would be difficult to maintain the beach in front of Camp Silver Beach because there's no feed coming from the north. And I can show some images that illustrate that, if that's helpful.
Sure. Proceed, please.
Just for context, again, this is existing conditions and some of the things that we've been dealing with that have been talked about. You see the freshwater pond here that is in a kind of precarious situation. I'll also point out the SAV line, and this is significant because it's very much affected the configuration of this project, the placement of the breakwaters, and why the project has been designed as it is. To some of the points about the shore width, beach width, these are historic photos and show some of the activities on the shoreline that have occurred historically, and then some of the recent damage from some of the recent hurricanes on the shoreline, most specifically Florence and Michael. I draw your attention to these posts that you can see in the dune, and also observe the height of the dune in this photo. And sometime later, you can see the entire height of the dune in the back shore area has been diminished, and these are the posts that were once on the face of the dune. The walkover that Bill spoke about and the posts, and you can see the pier in the background. This is a high-level view. Camp Silver Beach Pier is in this location. This is the project area here, breakwater project that was mentioned that was conducted about 10 years ago. But I want to draw your attention to the shoreline hardening that was really occurred along this entire reach. This creek here provides a good reach break. So really the whole shoreline north of the Fisher property and then the YMCA property and the Downing Beach properties to the south. The whole shoreline here has been hardened with a bulkhead and with groins. And what this has done over time is it's stopped the feed moving to the south. You had some coarse sand in here. That's all been fed down. As that was depleted, that caused Mr. Fisher to need to stabilize his shoreline. And you'll notice, to your point, Mr. Tankard, these tombolos were built as they will be built in this project. This sand was mined from the bank or brought in. So these features are part of the project. I'm not saying that there's not a lot of sand that does collect or that there's not some sand that collects in these embayments. There certainly is sand that collects, but it generally bypasses. And you can see that or these embayments would be filled with sand. So there is some bypassing that has gone on. Certainly not enough because of the lack of feed coming into it to fill up these embayments or to continue to feed the downdrift shoreline. This is just a close-up view of the breakwater project and then the shoreline adjustment that has occurred here and then the narrow beach that is now protecting this freshwater pond. You do see the bump of shoreline here in front of the Downing Beach properties. That's something that's been somewhat persistent in the historic aerials. So you do get into a more stable configuration as you move to the south. And a little more evidence of that is shown, again, for reference. You have the YMCA pier at this location, the Downing Beach properties here, and you see this bump in the shoreline. And you'll notice the wide sand beaches that really are kind of locked in between these headland structures, revetments that have become headlands to the south, and you see sand residing in this location. Another feature I think is important, this is a drainage feature. There's one or two creeks that discharge during major rain events through the beach, and this has the effect of serving as a groin periodically, so this helps, you know, kind of backstack sand and also kind of limit the progression of shoreline change to the south. And this is an image just showing, as Hank talked about and others, the trend of shoreline retreat. The 38 shoreline is in red, 72 in green, and then the photo is at 2017. So this is actually before some of those major storm events in 2018. But you can see down through here that the Downing Beach area has been relatively stable. And as far as the downdrift effects, because of the situation of this shoreline, there is going to be an adjustment. Because of the conditions here, we feel that adjustment is likely to be fairly minimal. Again, just to comment on some of the aspects of the project, to your point about other projects, breakwater projects along the shore, you probably will not find one that has a breakwater that is this long. Normally, we would have put two other structures in this system. In this case, we couldn't do that because of the SAB line. The SAB impacts would have been far, they would far exceed what we have in this project. We tried to pull this structure back as far as possible, staying inside the SAB line, and that was just not feasible at the northern end in order to get the right relationship to create stability in this embayment. Had we gone out further with this structure, we would have impacted more SAV, so we approached the adjacent property owner about extending his structure to get this relationship in a better configuration. This does have some SAV impact. Had we not done this, though, this would have had to come out a little bit further to be stable. And then as Hank noted, we did truncate the project at the property line to prevent that encroachment. The entire back shore area of the sand fill in here will be planted with Spartina patens and will be transitioned into the existing eroding dune system. So just in summary, we obviously have a documented shoreline retreat that's threatening the programs at the YMCA and some of its infrastructure. We've attempted to apply a living shoreline approach here and adapted it to minimize impacts, to try to restore and maintain some of the habitat that was there. We've talked about the SAV, the back shore and dune habitat that will be created in protection of the freshwater pond. And just to emphasize some of the comments that Mr. Varnell made about the SAV, this is a real challenge in the regulatory programs in the state of Virginia and in Maryland and other places. There really is no opportunity for mitigation. So we're very fortunate. We feel very fortunate to have Dr. Orth and his programs, his ongoing research, allow to take on this mitigation and to kind of piggyback on some of his research projects. We recognize the challenge of it being on the ocean side, but there really is no other option to go with. So we feel fortunate to have that opportunity. The impacts to adjacent properties, we can't deny that there will be a shoreline adjustment. We believe the position on the shoreline will minimize those impacts, and we think that natural drainage feature that I pointed out helps influence and will help the stability of the project on the downdrift side.
When you say shoreline adjustment, what do you mean by shoreline adjustment?
Just as we saw in this area here, there's very likely going to be an adjustment in this shoreline here, downdrift of this point of diffraction.
Questions to the gentleman? Mr. Taggart?
Yes, you mentioned these tumbolas are a bit of a different shape, and that was because of the site. And would you maybe elaborate on that? Because I really haven't ever seen tumbolas in this concave fashion before.
Again, it's the concave nature of these are to get the ends of the structures away from the shoreline. That helps minimize the impact on the shoreline. The further offshore those are, it limits the effect in here and also allows this embayment to sit in this location. Again, we had to get the structure back behind the SAB line, so we tried to get this point out as far as possible to allow this embayment to be in a stable configuration. And the same in this point, we brought it back in as far as possible to stay behind the SAV line, but again had to go out a little bit to create the relationship between these structures that allows this beach to be stable and protect the shoreline in the future.
Further questions, Mr. Ballard?
Would you consider that design change to be substantially better, or I assume worse, than if there were no SAV there? I guess the extent of my question is to what lengths are you going to avoid that SAV, and would the design have substantially less impact in other ways if you weren't trying to avoid those beds?
Well, there's two answers to that. If we were to go with a more traditional breakwater configuration, the impacts would be greater. To come back less than this, or to cut off the end of the structure on the north side, that would completely reduce the effectiveness of the plan, and then you'd be talking about trying to put a revetment or a hardened structure in front of this the freshwater pond. So we've worked as hard as we can to avoid the impacts, again, because the mitigation is not an easy thing. We knew it was going to be a challenge. We've done what we can, I think, to minimize those impacts short of going to a revetment type structure.
I guess my question is more that what are the downsides to this design versus the traditional design that you would have done as SAV were not present?
Oh, okay. If SAV were not present, well, you'd get more of you'd have more pocket embayments. You'd have two structures in this location, in these locations here. So you'd have less linear footage of stone structure and more linear footage of sand. In this case, we don't have enough space here to rely on the sand to provide protection, because that's really what these systems do. They allow the beaches to reside between the structures and for the backshore elevation to get to sufficient height to protect the embankments. And that's not achievable here. So absolutely it would be, in terms of a living shoreline approach, in terms of minimizing rock versus linear footage of sand, that would be a better configuration, and that's what we would come up with.
Further questions? Mr. Zuzinski, how long has the YMCA owned this property?
For the past 20 years, sir.
20 years. Okay. And Mr. Reynolds, if you were the next-door neighbor, would you support this project?
I would support it, just as the YMCA supported the project to the north. Without this project, the shoreline is going to continue to come apart. The feed to the south is deteriorating, as we've seen from looking to the north. If this project doesn't go in and erosion continues, it's going to continue to walk its way down the shoreline.
Thank you. Further questions? Thank you, gentlemen. Anyone else here in support of this project? Anyone here in opposition to this project?
Yes.
Yes, sir. Could you come forward, please? Please raise your right hand. You solemnly swear the testimony you give today be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, self you got.
I do.
Can you please state your name for the record?
My name is Kermit Bernard Ashby.
Okay. Mr. Ashby, proceed.
I'm here representing the aforementioned property owners of Downings Beach.
Are you a property owner or are you an attorney?
I am a property owner. I'm a medical doctor.
Okay. The reason I ask if you're an attorney, I didn't need to swear you or whatever. Just want to make sure the standing of who's doing what.
Yeah.
Proceed,
and,
please.
And if you would indulge me, Mr. Badger, could you put up the slide that shows the shoreline of how much the beach had, the Y has, and how much is to the Downings Beach property?
Okay.
I appreciate that. I don't have that technical expertise.
Neither do I.
Neither do I.
I was so glad you had more than that.
I think this one's slide. This one?
It shows the footage.
Right here.
Yeah.
Is that the one?
Yeah, that good. That's good.
Okay. I mean, I think there's another one, too.
There was one you had like a wedge, but that, I think that shows
that.
The one before is about this one.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. Yes, I'm not an attorney. I'm here representing literally four generations of ownership of the property at Downings Beach. I am a member of the third generation. Much of this property has been heir property, most primarily owned by Downing, Ashby, and originally Reed, but then transferred to Hylick. As you can see, we are immediately south of the YMCA camp. We have owned this property probably more than 65 years. We remember prior owners, which was interesting, because it was a nudist colony there.
That's a change from the Y, for sure.
Folks from the Canadian country. But they were good neighbors. They just ran around me. And then approximately 20 years ago, as Mr. Zazinski and Mr. Reynolds have stated, the Y purchased the property. My parents were very happy about that because, and we as children were very happy about that as well, because we were not going to be restricted from going up and down the beach anymore. That being said, we have a deep sensitivity and appreciation for what has happened to the Wise property. We do. I mean, it's obvious. It's stated in the documents that prior to the breakwaters to the north that the fishers put in, they were experiencing erosion rate of about 3.6 feet per year. After that, that was accelerated to an erosion rate of 5 feet per year. We first learned of this project, the owners, and it was through me because I am the agent for a limited liability corporation that we formed about 15 years ago that owns that property immediately adjacent to the Y. And then the other homeowners are private homeowners, us included. My family owns the southernmost property that is wooded within those boundaries. So on September 5th, I received in my mailbox a letter from the VMRC. Mr. Badger, his name was on it, and it said that's when I learned about this project. So immediately I contacted the other property owners, let them know about it, and said I'm going to contact Mr. Badger. I did contact Mr. Badger shortly thereafter because we had 2 weeks to talk to get any protest in. I didn't call to protest on behalf of the owners. I called to get informed more about what the project was because we had no knowledge of this project until September 5th. Mr. Badger was very kind. He spoke very candidly with me about what the project involved, what the potentials may be. I asked him, I said, we have two concerns. What does this mean to us? And is there an environmental impact study that's being conducted that may help us understand what it means to us? He said there was not an environmental impact study per se. However, VIMS had been on the properties, and a report was forthcoming. I received a letter. He forwarded that letter from VIMS to me on October 25th. In the interim, I just kind of did some research and said, started learning about breakwaters and what that meant and all this kind of thing. The report from VIMS very clearly stated in one of the last paragraphs that there would be an impact on the property, which has been acknowledged here, on our property. So therefore, we had a deep and serious concern of what this impact was going to be. They made the statement of unknown degree. By the grace of God, Mother Nature has been very kind to our shoreline, as has been demonstrated in the slides that have been shown. So we reached out to the Y. First, I reached out through Mr. Badger. Mr. Badger asked me on our first conversation, had the Y talked with us about this project? I told him no. This was first knowledge that any of us had of this project. So Mr. Badger said Neville Reynolds, Mr. Reynolds, was the engineer on the project. He got in touch with him, and Mr. Reynolds and I had subsequently communicated via email. We were to have a phone conversation on a Friday. I think it was late October at 3 o'clock. That was all agreed upon. I never received that phone call after waiting an hour. So I sent Mr. Reynolds an email saying that since you didn't call me, maybe we'll talk next week. From that time forward, didn't hear anything from anybody involved with this project from the applicant side. Through the efforts of Mr. Downing, Conway Downing Jr., Conway Downing Sr. was the one of the first or second generation owners. He's deceased, as I told Samuel Ashby, my father, is deceased. Conway Downing is deceased. And Lawrence Hiley, the youngest in the group, is deceased. So we are heirs and of the property. So we didn't hear anything from the Y until Mr. Downing reached out to Mr. Billy George, who was at that time the CEO and president of the YMCA of Southampton Roads, and they initiated conversations about having a meeting. That meeting occurred 2 days before Thanksgiving 2019 at Camp Silver Beach. It was a very cordial meeting. It was more or less a show and tell. That was, they showed us what they were going to do, and they told us what they were going to do. At that time, as Mr. Zizinski noted, they were prepared with a conservative, as he stated, project that would help us, because our concern by that time, we realized there was going to be a negative impact down drift. Again, by the grace of God, Mother Nature has been very kind to Downing's Beach. And then we looked at the history, that the 3.6 feet of erosion that occurred at the Wise property prior to, and that was Mother Nature, and probably the further north projects that had been done, but certainly not as southward as the Fisher property. We had evidence that I'm sure they were well aware of when they did not object to the project that the Fishers did in any form or fashion, that it was going to have a negative impact. And that negative impact is evidenced by the fact that it accelerated from another foot and a half of erosion from 3.6 feet. So we that concerned us. I think that would concern any of you. This property is very meaningful to us. We don't charge anyone to use the property. The property immediately adjacent to the Y is referred to as a common area. We are the five of us, not four, but it's five beachfront owners, including Ashby Downing LLC, which owns the property immediately adjacent to the Y's property, on the northern border of our property. They said that, okay, we want to put these breakwaters in. What y'all can do is this. This is, and Mr. Gunn, who is their contractor, who would be doing the project, he showed us something. We have drawings and all this kind of stuff for what they did. Much, much, much smaller project to the tune that they said it would cost $130,000 to do. Mind you, it's November 26th. We broke bread together, we prayed together, we had lunch, and we went our ways, and we told them we would respond to them. We wrote a letter. Mr. James DeGraffenried, one of our property owners, Mr. James DeGraffenried, one of our property owners who owns a home on the beach, wrote a letter dated December 9th that was sent to Messrs. Anthony Walters, who was the incoming CEO and president, and is now currently there, and Mr. Billy George, who was the outgoing. We never received any response to that letter until 2:45 yesterday afternoon. which, reviewing that letter, we all agree it had some, let's say, inconsistencies there. I followed up the December 9th letter on on February 13th, saying you've not responded to us because Mr. Zielinski and the Y people had been asking. Well, they knew that there was an encroachment. We have no objection to that encroachment. We have an objection to the fact that you're doing something and you're asking us to pass the hat on a short window notice to put in something that is not going to get done when they do their project. Because we've got to go through the whole process of Wetlands Board, this board, and then Corps of Engineers again. And that's not going to happen based on their timeline that they want to do to get their project completed by May. I respect that they want to do this before the opening of the season. But I've not seen anything that says it would cause any detriment to them if they waited until the close of the season. Now, I may not be privy to certain other considerations, but that's 6 or 7 months at the most away. So our concern has been that the Y has not been forthcoming. They have not dealt with us in good faith. When you send me a letter of response to a letter 2.5 months prior that was sent to you less than 24 hours before this hearing occurs, that to me does not sound like you are really being responsive. And we all have felt that way. I asked all the members, I said, have you heard from them? Have you heard from them? Mr. Zielinski again, he asked me, "What did we have a decision?" So we sent him a letter and said, read the first letter, and here's an expounding on that letter to tell you, here's what we want to know before we make some decision about it. Therefore, what they did was they had to cut it back because I think you wanted to know, why are you encroaching on the neighbor's property? Actually, what they had originally, yes, might help us a little bit, but they're asking us, and I think it was Mr. Tankard may have asked the question. I don't know if Mr. Tankard or Mr. Zadrin asked the question about compensation. They said the project was $130,000. I subsequently met with Mr. C. Scott Hardaway over at VIBS. My wife and I went over there and met with him, had a very good meeting with him. He explained to us not only these pictures that show you 38 and 96 and 2017, he went through every decade since they had been recording this. And he showed us, again, by the grace of God, Mother Nature has been kind to our beaches. And he showed that subsequent to those breakwaters to the north of the Wire property, they suffered accelerated erosion. So our concerns that are not expounded on in the documents you have are an acceleration of what heretofore has been fairly generous Mother Nature treatment of Downing's Beach. So now you're going to put in these breakwaters and accelerate them unless we do something. So we have to pass the hat after learning about this in November 26, right in the holiday season, to see if we can come up with $130,000 because they say they have no more money. They don't have any money. Their budget's tight. And I accept budgets, but all we're asking, have been asking, is for you to sit down and work with us, respond in kind, in a timely way, to our concerns and what our proposals might be. I respect budgets. But they've been working on this accordingly, roughly, to my knowledge, Mr. George, Billy George said that they started on this February of last year. We learned about it in September. And then we got really down to brass tacks where we sat down with them and we were told and shown what they were going to do in November, late November. And so here we are. We have no protest or objection to the project itself. We have a protest and objection to the project going forward without consultation and real, true meetings with us to come to some sort of terms and a little more time so that maybe if we have to pass the hat, we can come up with the money. Grants are available, all that kind of stuff. None of us have that expertise. And, you know, it came to our attention about a breakwater on the eastern shore of, not the eastern, but the eastward facing shore of the bay that was done, where the people had received some grants from this Tiger Beetle Society or something or what have you. That's fine, but we're not going to get that done in 2 or 3 months, and we have no guarantees that we'll get any money. So everybody seems to be getting compensation. The state does. I respect that the state wants to protect the shoreline. The state's getting their compensation, albeit not a lot of money. I've heard $1,000 and $300 and $111 and that kind of thing. Yes, this is $130,000, but then after meeting with Mr. Hardaway, other expenses came into play that he appraised us of. There's expenses to file permits. We don't have that expertise, so we're going to have to hire someone, just like someone in an earlier project said. She was hired to do that. So we'll have to absorb that cost. Then what we'll have to do is Mr. Hardaway assured us that there is going to be ongoing maintenance of these projects with sand. And this is special sand because of the tiger beetle population. So that expense comes on top of it. So these are things that we need time to consider. We'd like to work with the Y. They're good neighbors. But we subscribe to the theory, love thy neighbor as thyself. And so we just ask that, you know, maybe you're not going to get it done before the season starts in May. I don't know that that's critical. I don't know that. But if they can, if we have more time, and if they work with us in good faith so that we can all come to a reasonable compromise, then maybe we probably will come around and say we support the project as originally drawn. So this is where we are. And this is why I'm here before you, because we're not objecting to the project. We had to lodge it as a protest, but it's a conditional protest that can be worked out. And I will quote one of the gentlemen on the Wetlands Board over in Northampton County when I went to the first and the second meeting, because the first meeting was postponed. My wife and I drove over there 90 miles to get there. And we get there and we find out that the meeting's been postponed because the Y had called and said they wanted to postpone it. Fine. I got to meet the Wetlands Board people. But at the second Wetlands Board meeting, the chairman of the board said, can't you folks, it sounds to me like you folks need to get together and work something out. That was on December 13th when he made that statement. And the silence was deafening from the Y side of the room. Mr. Zizinski talked about how their budget was tight and what have you. Finally, we said we want to get a review by an independent engineer of what you've offered us to do to help out, because you can tell us anything. But what you've offered us to do that might mitigate that accelerated erosion on our property. And we said that, in turn, has a cost to it. Mr. George stood up and said, how much do you think that will cost? And I said, I don't know. I'm not an engineer, but I would think no more than $10,000. He said, we will give you $10,000 for that. So with that being said, I asked, as anyone would say in a business group situation, can I get that in writing? I've yet to have that in writing. Of course, we've yet to incur that bill, so it's not a threat to us as it is right now. That may come to pass in the future if you see fit to delay this project, which is what we're asking, until we can sit down with the folks from Greater Hampton Roads, Southampton Roads, Y, and talk about this. With that being said, I'll entertain any questions you may have.
Thank you, Doctor. Any questions? Mr. Zedrin, please.
How long are you talking about for the delay?
I would say, Mr. Zedrin, at least 6 months. If somebody came to you and asked you to lay out $130,000 on November 26th to do something that by no fault of your own, but because of something that they're doing, how would that sound to you?
Mr. Tankard.
Dr. Ashby, you mentioned the term heirs' property.
Yes, sir.
And I suspect that's a difficulty in perhaps arriving at some decisions with this piece of property.
No, not really.
No.
No, not really.
Would you maybe also describe heirs' property to
me? Heirs' property. When the property was originally purchased by my father and Dr. Conway Downing Sr. and Dr. Leon Reed Sr., who was from Richmond, this was way back probably in the 60s that they purchased the property because the Downing family owned the property, hence Downing's Road, Downing's Beach. They owned the property, but they could not afford to pay the taxes on the property. So the offer was made to keep the property in the family. Can you gentlemen buy the properties? Which they did. As kids, my dad came home and said, we just bought a beach. And I said, okay, we were delighted. That's all it meant to us. So now the property has been passed down. When my father was living, Dr. Downing Sr. was living, Dr. Reed decided he was going to live on the Gloucester side in Capahoosie, and he sold his to the Hilliks. We said we need to create a more business-like relationship because we have non-contiguous, or as I like to refer to them as non-waterfront property owners. And in the past, it had been a handshake and sort of thing. You can use the beach. Come on down. Everybody can enjoy the beach. But as time goes on, we don't know that that would continue. So we said, let's put this in a more business-like relationship. We formed a LLC, Ashby Downing Hilliks, and which has been passed on. And we, what we did was we carved out the area immediately next to the Wise property, and we named it, it's a half acre, named it the common area, in quotes. That means that anybody that lives off the beach, they have beach because they have a legal right of enjoyment and sharing in the tax to the extent of how many lots they may own. So if you own one lot, you pay right now one-tenth of the tax, the county tax on that property. That's the most expensive property tax-wise that we have over there. We have other properties because it's a much larger property than just the beach. But that's what I mean by it.
Okay. Thank you.
Further questions? Mr.
Yeah,
Minor.
Yes, just a few questions. How many folks live in this area?
Excuse me, Mr. Minor?
How many folks live in this area? In this area? How many folks live in
how
this
many
area?
Folks live
how many
here?
Folks live
yes.
In the Downing's Beach area?
Well, just within 3 miles. Let's say within 3 miles of Downing's Beach, yes.
I don't know that number. I don't know the population of that area.
So what you're telling us is that you kind of feel that there wasn't really true community engagement. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, again, with the immediate, when I heard from Mr. Badger, mm-hmm. it said adjacent property owners. Mm-hmm. We were an adjacent property owner to the south. Mm-hmm. The Fishers were an adjacent property owner to the north. Mr. Badger told me that the Fishers had an objection initially about the pipe and all that business. But then with the adjacent property owners to the south. As far as other people in that area, I don't know, you know, when you leave Banff Downings Beach and you go on, correct me if I'm wrong, Oconic Road, and go back, there's several homeowners and properties out there, farms. I don't know how many people are there. What I can tell you is that there's a total of 16 property owners, and us example, we own the property to the southernmost property where the wooded area is, where that arrow points down just above it. I own that property with my two brothers. Okay? And then the Downing property, which is right in the middle, they own that. The Conway Downing Jr. owns that property with his two sisters, with whom I've been acquainted for a lifetime. The common area that I just spoke of is owned by Ashby Downing and Hilliks, but as well as seven other property owners that don't live on the beachfront. So it's a total of 16 people that share in this. However, we have never restricted use of our beach by community people. We have never asked for anything from them other than just clean up by himself.
So let's just say with the 16 people, if we delayed this project, if we delayed this, I think, because I do community engagement,
yes,
and I promote myself, but I think 6 months in a child is too long. So is it something that you all can, you all can come up with a compromise in reference to saying we can have 2 or 3 meetings within the next month and a half or a month, or, you know, 6 months is just entirely too long.
Okay, especially Mr. Minor, I beg to disagree, and I respectfully disagree. The reason I say this is we have owners that live in Baltimore, Maryland, one that lives in New Jersey who just lost her mother, an icon in this country, Ms. Catherine Johnson.
Johnson, I saw that, yes.
Right. That's one of the owners. She lives in New Jersey, and now she's trying to deal with her mother's funeral.
Mm-hmm.
We have Mr. Conway Downing Jr., who lives in Washington, D.C. We have Mr. Bill William and Kim Allen and Mrs. Kim Allen, who live in Florida and Delaware, because their business is in Delaware, but they also have a home in Florida. So we have those people. Those are the principal beachfront people. So bringing these people together on a meeting, short of a conference call, gets a bit dicey. The other reason I said 6 months is because that's after the beach, the Camp Silver Beach season is over. They don't want to be out there doing this project during the season, I don't think. So their push is to get this project done before the season opens in May.
Yeah, let me, ma'am, I'd be able to help. Hank, yes. Mr. Badger, what is that time of year restriction on the tiger beetle? When does it start?
I think it
might have something to do with it.
It's mid-May now through
September. So if they were to do just a couple of months, it may be into the tiger beetle restriction area.
Okay.
So
okay.
That might, regardless of how, I understand absolutely your point, but then again, if we go the 2 months, maybe 2.5 months, 3 months, then we're into the tiger beetle problem as well, so they wouldn't be able to do any work then.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Further questions of Dr. Ashby? Mr.
Yes,
Ballard?
I certainly understand your concerns. This is a tough situation because if I were in your position, I would be terrified at the thought of accelerated erosion.
Good work.
But I guess my question is, we've got a great camp here that just utilize this beautiful water. And while you've got 16 residents that get to do that, they're introducing to thousands of kids this same stretch of beach and teaching them just very useful skills. It's an incredible camp. And what would you have them do? Because they're watching their shoreline disappear.
Well,
how would you recommend they?
Again, I only ask for 6 or 7 months until the end of the camp season. Okay, that gives us a little more time. A little more time to start at least to, if they do want to meet in good faith with us and have good faith conversations about how we can come to an amicable resolution so that they can get that project in before the end of 2020, then good. So I'm only asking for that minute. I don't think, particularly since the erosion rate is 5 feet per year, that window is going to close so fast and tight on them that they're going to lose that 5 feet in that window. So what we recognize what you said. We fully recognize what you said. We were happy. As I said, my parents were very happy when they came there. They do great things. I'm not a member of of Southampton Roads, but they've been good neighbors. And until now, like I said at the meeting in November, good neighbors, how is it stated? Good fences make good neighbors, okay? And so you got to deal with me in a good way. This has all been, it seems, and when you don't respond to my communications for 2.5 months, that tells me you disregard me. And then you make statements that are disingenuous and just flat, in some cases, not true, albeit Mr. Anthony Walters is the new CEO and president. So he said he wasn't around when this was going on and that was going on. He didn't know. However, so I'll give him a pass on that. But that doesn't seem to me that you're being genuine with us. You have a concern You share our concerns, and you don't seem to recognize, we do recognize your problem, and we don't want to see Camp Silver Beach become Camp Silver. So 7 months, I don't think is a big stretch, because I just don't see it as being that detrimental, that much more detrimental to their property than it has been so far.
Dr. Ashby, yes. you're under oath, and you've come before us in what, to me, appears to be a very, very genuine manner. What you're saying to us is that if the time, excuse me, was there to have dialogue,
yes.
to discuss,
yes.
that at this juncture, you're not opposed to the project per se.
What you're opposed to
is the lack of information flow, lack of dialogue, and lack of understanding that has occurred during the course of this process. Am I correct?
Yes, and to add to that, a lack of give and take, a lack of working together.
Mr. Tankard.
So you mentioned not that this YMCA was, quote unquote, not forthcoming and not responsive.
Yes, sir.
And you believe that as you stand here before us still?
I do so, sir, because, again, less than 24 hours before this meeting and less than 24 hours from this point in time, we had not received any written communication in response, and we still have really not received any written communication in response to what Mr. DeGraffenreich proposed on December 9th, nor what I followed up with on February the 13th, and again sending Mr. DeGraffenreich's letter.
Thank you.
Any further questions of the gentleman? Thank you, Doctor.
Thank you, sir.
Anyone else here in opposition to the project? Okay, the applicant has 5 minutes to rebut, wrap it up, and then we'll put it before the commission.
Thank you. We did have some conversations with Mr. Conway Downing, our CEO, Billy George, did prior to that. There's also some other conversations because of Mr. Downing wanted to propose a kind of a neighborly thing of helping them with some beach access as well. So that's another topic here. They did send us a letter, and they did request that that the YMCA pay for their project as well as ours. And again, our response is, and you can know from the wetlands meetings, and I don't think we needed another written response because we did address this in December with owners there at the same wetlands meeting, and our stance was basically that we have our project, we can't continue to support projects south of us, because if we support and pay for the Downing landowner's project, what happens to the owners to the south of them? Are they going to come to the YMCA and say, now this is your responsibility to protect our beachfront? So there has to be a time and a place that we can draw that line in the sand. Again, we need to be good stewards of our YMCA money and the donors that we have. We try to be forthcoming with what we did. We brought our engineers in to have that meeting again. We've kind of delayed this project. We want to start this project in December trying to get everything going, but we've tried to be forthcoming with everything and keep on waiting and waiting for responses and things. Yes, our new CEO, Mr. Walters, did send a response yesterday, basically in the same stance that we have said, is that we cannot continue to support somebody else's project here. But we gave them an opportunity to do the project alongside of us at a reduced rate, and if they would have to deploy and pay for someone to set up and do that at a different time of the day. This project, again, we do have tiger beetle limitations on when we can start this project and complete this project, and so we want to try and get this project completed before camp starts, because if another storm kicks up in September, we're going to lose 5 more feet, and it's going to cost us more. And again, we did this project trying to show them extending that one breakwater that was going to cost, at the YMCA's cost, to protect some of their southernmost land, plus adding more more sand to that project as well. So we're trying to do some things here to make it good.
I guess one question I've got just to set the table as far as the communication aspect of it. Was there scheduled to be a 3 o'clock phone call that the gentleman waited for and somebody didn't make?
That was between Mr. Reynolds and Dr.
Reynolds. If you can come to the podium, please, to address the commission.
My recollection is we did, there was an email exchange about a 3 o'clock call. Folks from the Y, other folks from Dr. Ashby's group were involved in it. It never seemed to come to fruition.
Well, whose fault?
I don't know that, but I know it didn't happen, and frankly, we were concerned about it as well at the time.
Follow-up to the question. Any further questions of the applicant? Mr. Tankard.
So just so I'm clear that besides the phone call and other letters that were sent out, do you dispute any of that, letters being sent to you?
We received two letters from them. Again, we received the first letter on December 12th. We did not respond until the Wetlands Board meeting, which... Dr. Ashby and his wife were present. I was specific and clear on where our YMCA stance was. Finally, as the meeting went on, my retired, now retired CEO, Billy George, did step up and say that he would give $10,000 towards outside consultation of what we proposed to them. And then they did send another follow-up letter. They have two of their landowners are attorneys, and so we just waited, and then we waited for a response, and our CEO, Anthony Walters, who is just fairly new on the job, did respond yesterday.
So my follow-up.
Okay, Mr. Mm-hmm. Tankard, then Mr. Zadrin.
So, but you are clear that this project will have impact on their property?
Yes, sir.
Mr. Zadrin.
If we continue this matter, who is going to be the point person for the YMCA that can actually facilitate this communication and try to work on a compromise?
Sure. Myself will, several of our senior leaders will be part of that conversation, sir.
Can that information be given to Dr. Ashby?
Yeah, Dr. Ashby has that, those contacts.
Okay.
I guess in the flow of things, I can. It's quasi-judicial, and we're... realizing that the YMCA, great organization, as Mr. Ballard has alluded to, I've got a great YMCA and the Luter Family YMCA over in Smithfield, supportive of them. I know the fundamental tenet of the YMCA is to be good neighbors,
yes, sir,
to do the very best they can. They rely on public support. They rely on what YMCA stands for.
Correct.
Is there a problem considering what Dr. Ashby had to say in continuing this matter so that maybe better discussions and relations can be worked out during the course of this matter?
You know, we want to do what's right and what's best for everyone.
I believe
involved.
That.
And so it is important to us. I guess and again, we said this to Dr. Ashby and in our response in yesterday, is that we cannot support that project for their beach replenishment. We've had conversations. We've been full disclosure of what we propose to do with it. We would like to move forward with this project as soon as we can.
So you believe that there is an adequate, regardless of what he has said, you believe there's been adequate dialogue, that all the chips are on the table and everybody's clear about what's going on?
Yes, it is. I feel, again, it is going to have an impact on their beachfront, just like our northern neighbors had the same impact on us. Unfortunately, we wish that everyone to the north, to the state line, would have never done their beach mitigation so that we wouldn't be in this problem.
And just so that I'm straight, there was an offer of $10,000 for mitigation.
Yes.
To that project.
Yes, it was. And it was a handshake at the end of the wetlands that we'll be happy to do.
But
that.
Now on the record, it's on the record.
It yes.
Okay.
Yes, and it was on the wetlands record as well, sir.
Okay. Further questions? Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
The matters before the commission for discussion and action. Mr. Zedrin.
You know, I kind of look at this just like the situation we had with the Ocean View project. You know, it was all up down the beach, and you know, it was like, well, if you let this one take the sand, it's going to affect that one, and back and forth and back and forth. And I think what we did was kick that back to the Norfolk Wetlands Board and said, why don't you get a, you know, look at this whole beach at one time and come up with a project and get it done. That's what I see here. This is a very tough case because what we're doing to help this person, we're doing to hurt the next one. And so I think that makes us a little different in dynamics. And what I'm hearing is this whole beach line needs to be considered as one project. And I don't know who that would go to. I don't know if that would go to the Corps or who. But I would support a continuance past whatever the Beatles time is, to continue to pass that and then direct our staff to assist these two and contact the rest of the beach owners down there, see if we can't do this whole beach as a living beach line.
Can I ask staff or VIMS to see if that is a possibility before we proceed with that? Would that be okay with you?
Yes.
Mr. Badger, you jumped up. You get to respond.
I'm very familiar with Silver Beach.
Okay.
You've got about... from the Downings Beach and the Y down to Silver Beach proper, probably a quarter of a mile. Out of that, you probably have another 7-8 on top of the Downings Beach group.
7 or 8 what?
Property owners.
Okay, sir.
Before you get to the bulkheaded areas that are hidden by sand down there. So they're not having a problem either. I don't know why they would get involved with this.
Please follow up.
But what you're telling me here, though, is as soon as they put the breakwaters here on the YMCA, it's going to affect the property next to them. And then if they do it, it's going to affect the other ones. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. The domino effect.
Right. We need to look the whole beach here.
Welcome to do it. You're not going to get them on board. I just tell you that right now. From our little group that we've talked about at Silver Beach, it's probably 10 of them, and they're going, that's just too much money. For what they've got invested in the property. So I don't think you're going to get the group down all the side from the whole reach.
Okay. Mr. Ballard, thank you.
I can share some perspective on this because I've unfortunately had to build 4 of these things and possibly a 5th coming at some point. But this whole shoreline is plagued by this problem of erosion. A lot of these bars have been thinning, disappearing, and causing further erosion along the shoreline at faster rates than have been seen, at least on my property that was the case. And for the record, I'm a little bit south of here, probably 10 miles or so. And unfortunately, these structures are just incredibly expensive. I can say from my experience that $130,000 doesn't touch what some of these cost. And so, you know, I agree with Mr. Badger that trying to get a large-scale beach solution like this done is a very low likelihood of happening because the amount of money it would require from landowners, or it has to be funded somewhere. This situation is very tough. I can say in my case, we didn't have an adjacent beach owner. We're separated by creeks on both our northern and southern side. So it was easier, but this is very tough. And I think at the end of the day, I kind of come down to the applicant's right to protect their property. And yes, it has an impact to the southern property, but at what point do you you say the applicant can't do anything to save their upland. And I don't view this as a disappearing of a beach. I view it as continued shoreline erosion that's going to keep occurring, and it's going to cut into those trees. You're going to have dead trees. That pond is going to become marsh. It's a problem that won't stop. So I sort of feel that even if we give another 7 months, we're going to come to this exact same conclusion, that it's going to affect the southern beaches, and they're going to be against it. If I were them, I would be against it. And we're going to be back here in a little bit, so I'd be inclined to vote on the project, and I would reluctantly be in favor of the project as proposed.
Thank you, Mr. Ballard, for the comment. I've got, well, it's Dr. Neal first, Dr. Zeef, and Mr. Tank.
All right. I agree with what Commissioner Ballard just said mostly. I would be more in favor of continuance to allow these two groups to talk some more. If you make me vote today, I'm going to vote to approve it. I'd rather vote later. I agree with him that the YMCA, we need to allow them to protect their eroding shoreline. I think it would behoove them and their neighbors to come to a more amicable agreement, to talk a little bit more about how they're going to do that, and it may make relationships better in the future. I don't need to put a 6 months or 7 months. Just continue it a little bit before we make that final decision. Let them talk a little bit more. But if you make me vote today, I'm not going to oppose it.
Mr. Zeder?
What encouraged me is Dr. Ashby did not say that he wanted the YMCA to pay for everything. What he said was, give us a little bit of time to, and we know the permitting process is not 30 days. It takes months to go through this. And so what he's saying, at least what I heard, put it that way, what I heard was, look, let us find out what our options are. Let us find out what the permitting process is. We're going to have to hire somebody to do that. I'm no expert at that, he said, and give us that opportunity. He didn't say, matter of fact, he did say, he said, we're not even opposed to the original plans here, but let us see what we can do to protect theirs, and maybe they're going to be paying for theirs. And he didn't say that we're going to expect the YMCA. He said that they would probably come up with the money. So I think we owe him an opportunity to research this, and it's not like he just he called them once and that was it. He's been corresponding with YMCA right on, and so I don't see where this is going to hurt them, even if they have to pay for their own project. And the other side of that coin is, if the contractor's out there, he's sure going to charge them a lot less to go right on down the beach through their property than if they finish the project for the YMCA, and then they got to bring all the equipment back and do the Downing's beach. So I don't see what my motion would be, is that we continue to pass whatever these beetles, and I don't remember exactly when that window ends, but when that window ends, can you tell me?
There seems to be some variation, but it's about middle of May through the end of September.
Okay. All right. So I would move.
Can we still have a discussion? Right. I've got Mr. Tankard's got his hand up, and I'd like to.
All right.
Okay. Yeah. It's disturbing to me, the lack of communication. I'm a YMCA believer. I think it's a great thing. It's been a great thing for not only our community, but people beyond our community, youngsters in particular. But this lack of communication is disturbing. And their neighbors, they know, they've testified that they know that it's going to be harmful to their southern neighbor. So why not communicate with the southern neighbor you're going to harm? I would vote for continuance. If you made me vote, I would vote no.
Anyone else? Ms. Lusk, then Mr. Ballard.
I would like to echo some of the thoughts that the other commissioners made. I also would very much like to support this project. I think the why is important on the Eastern Shore, and Camp Silver Beach is certainly a gem for the Eastern Shore. In fact, I dropped my daughter off to camp last year for a first-time camper. So definitely want to see this go through. I agree with Mr. Zedrin. I didn't hear Dr. Ashby say that he expected the Y to pay for the project either. But I agree that giving him some time to figure out what they can do and to see if they can do their project side by side with the Y seems reasonable. I'm also still hung up on the SAV mitigation agreement. To me, setting a precedent for mitigating eelgrass from the Chesapeake Bay, where the water quality concerns are very different than the water quality concerns on the seaside, doesn't make a lot of sense. I also echo the thought there's already a delicate balance between aquaculture and eelgrass on the seaside, and I think this precedent makes me very uncomfortable. So if we are going to continue, which I would support, I would suggest that we also have a directive to look at alternatives to this agreement.
Mr. Ballard, you have a question?
I think I certainly feel the communication side of things, and it could have gone a lot better. I guess I'd also point out that they have known about this since September. Communication can be a two-way street. I'm not sure writing a letter to the CEO of a large organization and then saying you didn't get a response is necessarily realistic. I can't write the CEO of Coca-Cola and then say he never responded to me. But the CEO was involved in some of the dialogue. But I have seen these projects held up on lack of communication and folks saying they weren't communicated with. But I always ask, did you write a follow-up letter? Did you call? Did you call his assistant? And sometimes that's what we have to do to get through to larger organizations. And is it correct or absolutely right or the way we'd want things done? No. But I just didn't see a whole disregard of communication. There were handshake deals. They talked to them about giving $10,000. They were present at these wetlands board meetings. There were responses and dialogue. They had the on-site meeting before Thanksgiving, and the whole project's been going on for now, September through now. It's roughly 5 months that they've had to dialogue this out, and I've just seen probably more than what would normally occur communication on a lot of these things. So that's why I'd be in favor of moving it forward, as staff has recommended, I believe.
Thank you, sir. Well, while I agree with you, I tend to disagree just somewhat and respectfully do. I think that's why I asked the question about the initial phone call and then the fact that the letter was received at 2:45 yesterday. I think things could have gone better as far as the communications was concerned when you're dealing with this type of a project. Also go to the law, which is 28.2.1205 of the Code of Virginia, which says we should take in consideration, and I'll read the five or the six sections just to be proper, other reasonable and permissible uses of state waters and state-owned bottomlands, marine and fishery resources of the Commonwealth, tidal wetlands, except when this has or will be determined under provisions Chapter 13 of this title, adjacent nearby properties, water quality, and submerged aquatic vegetation. I tend to deal or to agree with my colleague, Ms. Lusk. I have we work diligently to protect SAV, and I go both ways as far as that's concerned. I've been clear on the record as far as how I believe SAV and aquaculture need to work together hand in hand to make sure that they're collective partners for the benefit of the environment. But to intentionally disturb almost 4,200 square feet of SAV, remove it from the bay over to the seaside, does cause me some concern. In addition, the fact that this is going to have a detrimental effect on the nearby property owner, I think is exactly what the Code of Virginia says that we should take into consideration. To your point, I do agree that the number of people that benefit from this project, as far as the balance of the scale is concerned, makes it very, very difficult. I understand totally what benefits the YMCA provides to the kids, to the adults, to the people. It's a wonderful organization. That, and also, the other last point is, you're right, Mr. Ashby came up here and asked for time. There is, if 6 months goes by and we continue this 6 or 7 months, this is not an endorsement from my perspective that will be in any way trying to drive the point that the YMCA compensates anyone for anything, period. My only concern is that there is time for dialogue, and if it's time for them to disagree even more when they come here the next time, so be it. That's our job to take care of those conflicts. But I did not and will not acquiesce to the fact that that's what this is an endorsement of, period. So that being said, the matter is before the Commission for Action. And I'll be calling the roll because I know we've got some different outlets. Mr. Zedrin.
I move that we continue this matter until the September meeting and also direct staff to work with DEMS in reference to looking at the SAV matter and see if we can protect as much of that as possible. And that's my motion.
And I second that.
So second motion made by Mr. Zedrin to continue to September 20th, seconded by Mr. Minor. Further discussion. Mr. France?
Aye.
Mr. Tankard?
Aye.
Mr. Zedrin?
Aye.
Dr. Neal?
Aye.
Mr. Ballard?
No.
Mr. Minor?
Aye.
Ms. Lusk?
Aye.
Ms. Everett's absent. Chair votes aye. Motion passes to continue. Thank you very much for the discussion. And very, very good presentations on both sides. It makes things a lot easier for us. Thank you.